Okay, so yesterday in our opening shiur on the topic of Eseba, we basically developed a number of different approaches regarding the nature of Eseba. Right, just a quick chazara. Approach number one was that Eseba was a chilek of the mitzvah itself. Again, we saw that the Grizz developed that in the in the shita of the Rush, who thinks that Eseba is ma'akev. So again, approach number one is that Eseba is a chilek in the mitzvah itself. Approach number two is that no, Eseba is a mitzvah b'fnei atzmo within. Within approach number two, that it's a mitzvah b'fnei atzmo. We saw two different versions about whether the mitzvah b'fnei atzmo is connected to the chashiv achila and shtia. That's the sort of the version of Reb Chaim and the Grizz. Again, it's a mitzvah b'fnei atzmo, which is specifically associated with the central achila and shtia of the night. While approach 2b, the second version of this, was developed by the Rav in Hari Kedem, which is that it's a mitzvah b'fnei atzmo, which is specifically associated with the se'uda of the night. Again, and then we also pointed out a third approach, which says that there could be multiple dinim at play, which we'll get back to in later shiurim, particular shitos, which say that, you know, there's both, right? There's both a haseba of the form of being a chelik in the mitzvah, and also a second type of haseba, which is a mitzvah b'fnei atzmo. Okay, fine. Now I'd like to start discussing today that one of the big issues, one of the big sets of nafka mina between these various approaches is when Heseba applies. Right, to which achilos does the mitzvah of Heseba apply? And we're going to see that these different approaches are going to have, you know, very different understandings of when Haseba applies, and even when they agree, like in cases like matzah, which we'll discuss, that everyone agrees that Haseba applies to matzah, where they're going to differ is in terms of explaining why Haseba applies to matzah, for instance. So again, one of the big impacted issues by these different approaches in terms of is the question of when Haseba applies. So we're going to see certain cases where there's going to be machlokes about whether Haseba applies to a certain thing, such as Shar Seuda, and other cases where everyone agrees that Haseba applies, but the difference is going to lie in terms of how they explain why Haseba applies. So right now, we'll just go through, right, and in general, the koveya for each of these approaches is going to be different in terms of when Haseba applies. Go quick rundown. So again, according to the first approach, that Haseba is a chelik in the mitzvah, so Haseba will only apply to mitzvos whose primary theme is cheiros, in line with the theme of Haseba. Right, as we pointed out before, Haseba is an expression of cheiros. Right, so if you think that Haseba is a chelik in the mitzvah, so then Haseba will only apply to mitzvos whose primary theme of the mitzvah is cheiros, which aligns with the theme of Haseba. So again, that's going to be the analysis according to approach number one. But the analysis can be very different according to approaches 2a and 2b. According to approach 2a, the koveya will seemingly have nothing to do with the theme of the mitzvah, will rather pertain to whether this achila is a chashav achila. So again, according to approach 2a, that it's a mitzvah, that Haseba is a mitzvah b'fnei atzma, which is associated with the primary achilas of the night. So then the koveya for when and why Haseba applies is specifically if a particular achila is considered one of the primary, one of the central achilas of the night. But according to approach 2b, that again, that the mitzvah b'fnei atzma is associated with Seuda, so then the koveya is going to be whether the particular eating, whether the particular achila or shtia, is a chelak of the Seuda of the night. So again, very different perspectives in terms of deciding when Haseba applies. Again, is it approach number one is going to say it has to be in line with the theme of the particular mitzvah, it's a chelak in the mitzvah. Approach 2a says that the particular achila and shtia has to be a chashiv achila and shtia. And approach 2b says that it's all about whether that achila and shtia is part of the Seuda of the night. Okay, so that's the general analysis, and now let's go through the different applications of Haseba and see how these different reasonings align with the different Rishonim. So again, the first application of Haseba that everyone agrees to is matzah, right? Gemara in Kuf Ches Amud Aleph, right, explicitly states, right, when it says Itmar, the matzah tzarach Haseba. No questions asked, the matzah clearly requires Haseba. So while it's clear in the Gemara that matzah requires Haseba, what's unclear is why. What is the reason why matzah requires a seba?
Not really my focus is why if Dalakosas ate at least some of your Dalakosas.
That was coming Lafuke. Other things like Seuda and Charoses and Karpas, things we'll get to next time. Yeah, but for matzah, and you're right, Dalakosas has its own issue in terms of which ones. But yeah, but matzah, everyone agrees that Haseb applies to matzah. But now the question is going to be, how do particular Rishonim justify why Haseba applies to matzah? So we're going to see the first group of Rishonim, aligning with approach number one, are going to justify the application of Haseba to matzah by saying that the primary theme of the mitzvah of matzah is the theme of Cheiros and Geula. So we're going to see both Rashi and the Rashbam on the spot both spell it out. Right, if you see Rashi, Dira Maschil, Matzah Tzricha Seba, Yisrael, do you see it? See Rashi. Yeah, so what does Rashi explain? Right, so matzah requires Haseba. Haseba done by what right, B'nei Chorin, by free people. And why is it applicable to matzah? Shehu. Exactly, because matzah is all about commemorating the Geula of the Cheres. So Rashi, again, aligned with approach number one, justifies the application of Haseba to matzah by saying the theme of matzah is Geula, and therefore it makes sense for Haseba, we're adding, to be a chelek of that mitzvah. Similar to Rashi, we'll go through this quickly, is the Rashbam. In Rashbam, Alicia, do you see it? Rashbam, matzah, tzricha, Haseba. It's like one of the last skinny lines.
Skinny line.
See, matzah, tzricha, Haseba.
Matzah, tzricha, Haseba. Kishe oichel matzah shel mitzvah leil harishin ke b'nei charin shehu zecha legula.
Right. So what does he say? Right. When
Exactly.
Just like Rashi, the Rashbam explains the application of Haseba to matzah by saying, because that's the theme of matzah. Very good. So far, very good. So now we're going to get to Tosos. And Dira Maschil, Mai Dahava Hava. So again, Tosos is really coming off of a later Shachar Vatara, which we'll get to, which basically says when it comes to, right, what's the context, David, do you remember the context of Mai Dahava Hava? What's the Gemara saying? Exactly, because Mai Dahava Hava, right, once you are ready, finished with Magid, and Magid is when you discuss the theme of Cheiros, once you're done with Magid, there's no need to do a Seba during the latter two Kosos, because, it's past the Zman of the Seder, which is focused on Cheiros. So now Tosas, do you mind, David, reading Tosas Dira Maschil Mai Dahava Hava? He's going to ask a question of why that Svara doesn't apply to matzah. And the various answers that Tosas give become very important in terms of understanding why Haseba applies to matzah. So start off. Right, so what's Tosas' kasha? Exactly, right, because matzah is eaten after Magid. Right, Magid is which is focused on Geula. So that's finished by the time you eat matzah. So he says the same svara should seemingly apply. So there are going to be three different answers. We're going to keep this organized. So we're going to skip to the third answer, which aligns with the first, with the approach we're developing right now. You see the third answer says va'ot shiksuva b'torah?
Yeah. Okay,
so what's the third answer, Tosos?
The matzah is connected to
Exactly. So says Tosas in the third day, right, in line with Rashi and the Rashbam, that the reason why a Seba applies to matzah is because of the theme of Cheiros, which is very prominent in the context of matzah, right, as seen from the Psukim, which highlight this theme of Shalohispik Batseka Mahachmetz Achnigalu, right, the fact that we eat matzah is all about, or at least primarily, about, commemorating the Cheiros, again, that we ate matzah when we were freed from Mitzrayim. So again, this third day in Tosas very clearly justifies the application of a Seba to matzah by saying, oh, the Iker theme, the primary theme of matzah is Cheiros. Again, very much this day in Tosas seems to be in line with Rashi and Rashbam, which again, seemingly in line with the first approach, that it's Seba is a din in the mitzvah, and therefore it's going to apply as long as the primary theme of the mitzvah is a theme of Cheiros. Oh. Just one ara here is that, but what's the contrast that Tosas is drawing between matzah and what? And Dalakosas. Right, the implication of Tosfos is that while Chirus is a primary theme of matzah, and therefore it's not subject to the svara of Maida Hava Hava, Dalet Kosos is subject to Maida Hava Hava, because seemingly by implication, the theme of Chirus plays a much smaller or a much less prominent role when it comes to the mitzvah of Dalet Kosos. So just a ha'ara, because not everyone's going to be here when we get to the sugya, or most people are not going to be here by the time we get to the sugya of Dalet Kosos. But the fact that Tosos here, by implication, downplays the role of Chirus within the mitzvah of Dalet Kosos, again, right, just remember the structure of Tosos. Tosos is saying the svara of Maida Hava Hava doesn't apply to matzah because matzah's ikar primary theme is Chirus. Implication is that Dalet Kosos, which is subject to the svara of Maida Hava, the role of Chirus isn't as prominent. So this is very much Tosos Lashitasa. Again, this is very important Tosos. I had you read Tzadi Tesam and Beis. This is a very important Tosos, the sugi of Dalet Kosos. But Tosos and Tzadi Tesam and Beis, world famous Tosos, right, made famous by Reb Chaim and the Brisker Rav. The Tosos there, Dira Masa, Lo Yifchusu Lo Me Arba Kosos, basically equates Dalet Kosos with what? With Kiddush. Right? And basically Tosos says that just like when it comes to Kiddush, right, one generally, the Balabayas is motzi everyone else. So it says, so too, once Kiddush, the Balabayas is motzi everyone else, there's no reason to think that the same shouldn't apply to Dalet Kosos. Right? He says, the Maishna arba Kosos mi Kiddush to Koloshana. Dalet Kosos are the same thing as Kiddush. So what emerges from Tosos, and this is what Reb Chaim points out, is that Tosos thinks that the Dalet Kosos are simply four Kosos shel Bracha. In contrast to the Rambam, who thinks there's a component of Chirus, right? The Rambam famously thinks, and we actually discussed this yesterday, that when the Rambam introduces the din of Dalet Kosos, he basically does that as telling that it's coming off the din of Laharos as Asma Kiulu Hu Yatzam in Mitzrayim, right? So the Rambam thinks is a very important component of Chirus to Dalet Kosos, that the Shtiyas, Dalet Kosos themselves are an expression or kiyum of Chirus. In contrast to the Rambam, Tosos Lashitaso downplays the role of Chirus and Dalet Kosos and says that Dalet Kosos are merely four Kosos Shel Bracha. So again, if you put these two Tosim together, it works out very nicely. Because the same Tosos on Kuv Chesam and Aleph, who's saying that there's a prominent theme of Chirus within Matzah, and by implication, and not within Dalet Kosos, is very much Lashitaso, that Tosos in general and within the Sugya of Dalet Kosos downplays the role of this theme of Chirus within Dalet Kosos and says Dalet Kosos are merely four Kosos Shel Bracha. So again, that's just putting the two Tosin together, that works out very nicely. Yeah?
Are you saying that the reason of
Gula
is Chirus and
Gula? For now, we're equating Chirus and Gula. Again, they're both redemption and freedom. They're basically the same idea.
For
the purposes of now, meaning we're putting those two concepts together.
That Tosfos goes on to say about how the gula, each coast is representative of a term for gula. With chayrus, we have plays off gula.
Okay, so that's a Dalet Kosos issue. We'll hold off for now. But yeah, there is a slight difference for sure between Geula and Chayrus, but for our purposes, they're both related to Heseba, right? Heseba is an expression of both of them. Yeah.
Could it be that which Yain is really a lesser level of Chayrus, is only after you already did the first two?
Well, that's really the second day.
Same thing, because maybe that answer is related to the based on that answer, you can say the answer.
I'm assuming that both answers are independent, especially because the first answer is like for sure at odds. We'll explain. The first answer is a completely different perspective than the third daya, so I'm assuming that this, I mean, that each daya here, that all three answers of Tosos are independent from one another. That's what I'm assuming. That's what I'm assuming. He says near Lahachmir. So the way. What? Oh, he's actually Mesupik about Kiddush also.
But when he says near Lahachmir, he says,
okay. Yeah, but the way everyone understands Tosos is that fundamentally it's just a kosher bracha, and you know it's just a chumrah. That's the way it's like understood. But I hear the Ha'ara, but the way Reb Chaim for sure understands it is that he quotes the beginning of Tosas as that's the Shita of Tosas, and there, by implication, it sounds like the Nir Lachmir is just, you know, just to be, just the Yotze, you know. But yeah.
He says,
it
sounds like
it's not just what
he's
doing to Dina. What do you say? In line with what you're saying, the end of that line is that the end of Tosas says, not just that little Achmir, not just someone who's doing the Dina.
One more time?
You're saying that when he says the Hamachmir, you're saying he even like characterizes it as a Machmir? Okay, yeah, I hear. Okay, so just, yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah. It could be though, like, okay, there might be true, but I guess where Chaim is Medayek and Tosos, it sounds like fundamentally, in our Bikaron, the Dalet Kosas are four Kosas Shel Bracha. Again, is there potentially like an added, you know, Kiyum, you know, which is under, in the realm of Chumrah, you know, perhaps. But again, that doesn't integrate into like the Ikare Dinim of, and we'll get to that when we get to it. But that's definitely the way Tosas is understood. And again other Tosasim on Kuchas and Beis also work out Lashita. Again, that's not the only Tosas that's important to note. There are a number of Tosasim on Kuchas and Beis which Lashitaso, again, seem to be downplaying the role of Cheros and just see Dalet Kosas as Kosas Shel Bracha. That's an important Nikuda. Okay, and as just to finish up this first approach, again, in addition to, we saw Rashi, the Rashbam, in the third day in Tosos, again, who justified the application of Aseba to Matzah based on the theme of the mitzvah being a theme of Chirus and Geula, you also have the Remilinil, right, that Daniel just quoted, right, the Remilinil in a one-liner just says, Matzah Tzricha Aseba, Dezeicha L'Chirusu. So again, the Remilinil is within this first approach that the reason why Haseba applies to matzah is because the theme, the internal theme of the mitzvah of matzah is a theme of chiras, which therefore is accentuated when you perform haseba while doing the mitzvah of matzah.
You're saying he's exactly the same person?
For our purposes, for the purposes of the nature of haseba, it seems to be the case.
Matzah may be different.
No, I'm saying I think for the nature of haseba. Being a din, being a chilek in the mitzvah of matzah, it seems like Rashi, Rashbam, third day and Tosos, and the Remilinil all agree that Haseba relates to the internal dynamic of the mitzvah itself, and therefore justify the application by saying that the internal theme of the mitzvah is the theme of geula slash.
But in terms of the nature of
potentially, it could be a subtle distinction. You have to like trace all the different times that they talk about. These are showing to talk about matzah, and you know, figure is the Remilinil always consistent? Always invokes the term chiros and not geula. That's what you have to figure out if you really want to pin that down. Okay, right. So all these are showing him seem to be adopting the first approach that again haseba is a chelik in the mitzvah, and therefore all justify the application to matzah by saying that the theme of the mitzvah itself is a theme of geula slash chiros. But the question that these Rishonim have to contend with, and the question that Tosos implicitly asks is it so clear that the only theme of matzah is the theme of Chiras and Geula? What's the counter pressure? What's the alternative theme within matzah which would seem to be at odds with Haseba? Lechemoni. And if you look back in Tosos implicitly asks, but it's a very, very important question. Right, again, a question which only applies to this first approach. Only if you think that the justification of Haseba to matzah is based on the fact that Haseba aligns with the theme of matzah of Chiras, are you bothered by the following kasha. Right? Aryeh, would you mind? The Afagaf? It's like a four... So what's the implicit kasha? Right, the Torah says that not only does matzah commemorate the Chiras, it also commemorates the Avdus. So, if the only justification, according to the first approach, of applying a Seba to Matzah, because a Seba, which is the Din and Cherus, aligns with the internal themes of the Mitzvah of Matzah, which is all about Cherus, but it's not so Pashut. Because Matzah has an alternative, opposite theme of Lechem Oni, which is all about the Avdus. Yeah?
But you have to... Maybe take that sudden understanding of Haseba, because either way, Haseba
is going to be about is about cheres.
Correct. But again, if the reason why you do it for matzah,
but it might not be a din in the matzah so much as when is the best time to do a seva.
Correct. But again, if the reason why, again, we'll get, let's say the first day in Tosas, which you get back to, if you think the reason why you're doing a seva during matzah is because matzah is the ikar su'uda, so then who cares that there's a theme of lechem aoni there?
Okay, so that one tzabit, you still have the two other tzadim. That's the.
Oh, let's say it's a din that it's the most chashav achila of the night. So the fact that it's the most chashav achila is just the fact that it's a mitzvah.
No, I mean the fact that we can't be meduyik whether or not it's a mitzvah within the matzah or a mitzvah within the or an independent mitzvah.
That's what I'm saying. Because the tzad of it being an independent mitzvah is that it's an independent mitzvah which is associated with either the ikar se'uda or with the ikar achilos.
Or why can't it be associated with things that are related to chayrus?
You could say that, but I'm saying the way Reb Chaim, the way the Mefarshim who, I'm saying, let's say the, you know, the Torah's Brisk, right? Reb Chaim, the Griz, and the Rav, all them who explicate, right, who develop this mitzvah b'fnei atzma approach, they all don't say it like that. I'm not saying it's impossible, but the way they say it is that either they focus on the su'uda aspect of things or they focus on the chashav achila aspect of things. So again, according to those understandings, so then you wouldn't be bothered by this lechem aoni question. But, yeah, and I think it makes sense. Tosas only asks this question within his third day. He doesn't ask this question after he says the ikar su'uda, because that's not... It's only a question, if you justify it based on the theme of chayrus, so then you say, okay, but the matzah also has an opposing theme of lechem aoni. Right, I think Tosas is very meduyuk in that. Right, he only asks this question after the third day. So again, so this question, which really applies not just to Tosas' third day, it also applies to Rashi, the Rashban, and the Rimi Lanil, is basically, okay, you all of you Rishonim just justified Haseba to matzah by playing up the chayrus theme of matzah, but what about the opposing theme of Avdus, the theme of lechem aoni? Right, so the answer to this question of how you're going to account for this lechem, and one aura, is that it could be that the mefarshim who don't adopt, you know, this approach, right? The mefarshim who don't adopt, right, this approach and think that the koveya is the su'uda aspect of things, or it's the ikra achila, it could be that they're very bothered by this question. It could be that they say don't justify it based on the internal themes of matzah, because just like you have the internal theme of cheirus, which works with Haseba, you also have lechem aoni, which is the opposite of Haseba. So it could be that this question, which Tosas is bothered by, could be a factor which compels the other deos and Tosos and the other approaches in the Mefarshim, who say, no, this you can't justify Haseba to matzah based on the internal themes of matzah, because you also have lechem aoni, which is at odds with Haseba. But how is the third day in Tosas and the Rashi and the Rashbam and the Rima Lanil going to answer this question of lechem aoni? So I think the answer to this question, again, relates to another sugya which we're going to do at the end of the summer, which I think really only Svi and I are going to be here for, and maybe the Willy contingent, Willy Wolf contingent, and that is the nature of the din of lechem aoni, which is a whole sugya in of itself, which I think plays a very important role here. We'll do a brief synopsis of that, you know, of the Iker and Nekudos there, which we'll get back to here. So again, one mahalach in Lechem Oni is that Lechem Oni is a side kiyum within the mitzvah of matzah, which is as if to say that the factor of Lechem Oni doesn't integrate into the mitzvah of matzah itself. According to this approach, and I'll give a highlight of it in just a moment, the mitzvah of matzah, according to this first approach, is solely, you know, basically is based on one theme and one theme only, and that is the theme of chayrus and geula/geula. According to this first approach, the din of lechem oni with this other theme of abdus doesn't integrate into the mitzvah of matzah itself. And this approach is highlighted by the Deya in the Yerushalmi and the Shita of the Maral, get back to all this, who hold that the dinim of lechem oni are not ma'akev, the din of matzah. Say these mefarshim, that if you have matzah ashira, which is generally the paradigm psul of, you know, lechem oni, right? Basically, matzah, which is kneaded with, you know, fruit juices, which is considered lechem ashira, matzah ashira, says the Maral and this Deya in the Yerushalmi, that you're still yotzei the mitzvah of matzah. with matzah ashira. You're just not yotzei the side kiyum of lechem oni. Okay? It's a very important approach. But according to that mahalach, that the theme of lechem oni doesn't integrate into the mitzvah matzah itself, they have a very simple answer to this question. Because the answer is, don't tell me, don't ask kashas based on lechem oni, because lechem oni is a side kiyum. But the mitzvah of matzah itself is purely based on the theme of chiras / geula, and therefore a seba is very much shayach to the mitzvah of matzah. Don't ask about lechem oni. Lechem oni is a side kiyum, which is not ma'akiv, the mitzvah of matzah itself. So again, that's the first simplest answer to this kasha of lechem oni, is if you adopt the mechudash approach, which says the lechem oni is simply a side kiyum. Yeah.
How do those approaches understand the sugya of arbakosos? Of haseba by various by the two kosos there, or the two kosos there, depending on Paris?
We'll get back to that. I mean, that was a din of matzah.
Yeah, but I'm saying, if
how does that relate to Galakos?
I mean, you're saying that they were saying that the idea of Haseba is by Iker Shu, right?
What I just said?
Or according to those
two. Right now we're working within the Rishonim, who said that the reason why it applies to Matzah is because of the theme of Chiras. Yeah. You're asking from before?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we'll get back to that. You're asking how is the Iker Shu, people are going to understand the Shachar Vatar? Yeah, we'll get back to that. All right, guys. Right, so the first answer to Tosa's lechem oni kasha is to say that lechem oni is a side kiyum. But most mefarshim say that lechem oni does integrate into the mitzvah of matzah, and that the mitzvah of matzah has two opposing themes, which itself is ton beer. But according to the normative approach, that lechem oni does integrate into the mitzvah of matzah, that mitzvah of matzah has two opposing themes, both chiros and oni and avdus. Now the question, chazar kushal duchta, how do you account for Haseba applying to the mitzvah of matzah if matzah, just like it has the theme of chiras, also has the theme of avdus? So within this, there's going to be two different answers. So one answer is presented by Tosas himself. Right. So how does Tosas answer the question? Arya, continue reading. Right. After he says, "Va'alfa God ha'bi lechem oni." Oh. So what's that answer?
In itself is
lechem oni. So how do you understand that answer? The kasha being, why does it apply? Meaning, is a din of lechem oni, which applies to matzah. Answer, Tosos, yesh lo ochla dera. Okay. So, how did he answer the question? What about lechem oni? Okay, excellent. Right, you understood Tosos in it, right? The lamdish way, right? And I think the answer to Tosos is a very, very important lamdish, which says that the din of lechem oni, just to use, to sprach it up, is limited to the chetza shel matzah. It doesn't apply to the ofen of the maisa achila of matzah. Very important, you saw it in lechem oni. Again, that Tosas is holding. And don't ask about lechem oni, because the din of lechem oni is limited to dinim which pertain to the chetza of what type of matzah is kosher for the mitzvah. Like the paradigmatic example of matzah ashira, right? You can't have a piece of matzah which is defined as matzah ashira with having fruit juices, etc. But the din of lechem oni, says Tosas, doesn't pertain to the ofen ha'achila, to the manner in which you eat it. And therefore, says Tosas, since haseba pertains to the maisa achila, to the ofen of the maisa achila, so therefore, the ofen of the maisa achila is limited to the theme of Chiras, and therefore Haseba, which pertains to the Maisa Achila, is completely in line with the mitzvah of matzah, the Maisa Achila of matzah, which is all focused on the theme of Chiras. Yeah. Yeah, okay, so we're gonna get back to that. Oh, you're actually gonna be here. So we're gonna get back to the Chiddush of this Tosos. Because lechem oni is not limited to the psula matzah ashira, because there are many other dinim which are derived from lechem oni, this is a very big chiddush. And there aren't so many which pertain directly to the ofen achila, and the ones that potentially do, there are alternative ways to understand them, but we'll get back to that. That's an excellent tahara. So again, the first way to answer, right, if you think within the normative approach that lechem oni does integrate into the mitzvah of matzah, so one way to account for why it doesn't, nullify the application of haseba is if you say the Tosas approach that lechem oni is limited to the realm of the chetza shel matzah, but doesn't apply to the ofen ha'achila. The other way to answer, which is probably just more simply, is that if I had you look at the psukim, right? If I were to ask you, of the two themes of lechem oni versus the theme of chera slash gula, which one is much more prominent in the psukim? The psukim that you saw in, you know, on Mamre Komas, what? Gula, right? How many references in the psukim are there to lechem oni? One. Of all the psukim which discuss matzah, and there are more than even I had you see, almost all of them only reference the theme of geula. There is one pasuk in Devarim, right? Devarim Tes Zayin, right? Perek Tes Zayin, pasuk Gimel, which references lechem oni. That highlights that even if lechem oni integrates into the mitzvah of matzah, still the primary theme of the mitzvah is still the theme of chiras slash geula. And therefore, another way of answering Tosfos' kasha is that even if there is a theme of abdus within the mitzvah of matzah, it's very much secondary. And therefore, you know, Tosfos, Rashi, Rashbam, Tosfos, Rimilanil, right, not Tosfos, he gives another answer, but they could simply say that, okay, granted there's a theme of lechem oni, but that's very much secondary to the primary theme of chayrus, and therefore Heseba is shayach to matzah because of the primary theme of geul. Does that make sense? Okay. Fine. Okay, so Adkan, we basically discussed, right, the relevance, the shaychus of Heseba to matzah within the first approach, which all explained it based on Heseba aligning with the theme of chayrus within the mitzvah of matzah. So now let's work in within the other approaches. Again, within approach 2a, we pointed out that the reason, and this is where Reb Chaim spells it out explicitly, that according to 2a, that Haseba is associated with the Ikare Achilos and Shtios of the night. So the reason why, reason how, right, the reason approach 2a is going to justify the application of Haseba to matzah is by simply saying that the eating of the matzah is one of the Ikare Achila of the night. And that's exactly what Reb Chaim spells out. Reb Chaim spells out that the reason why you do a seba for matzah is not because of the kiyum mitzvah shabo, it's rather the achila shabo, which we explained that the achila of matzah is an ikar achila of the night, and therefore being an ikar achila of the night, that's why a seba applies to matzah. Again, nothing to do with the theme of the mitzvah itself. It all has to do with the fact that matzah is one of the ikari achila of the night. So again, Reb Chaim spells that out in line with his approach. Oh. But now moving on to approach 2b, which says that the reason why Heseba applies to matzah is because matzah is part of the Ikar Seuda of the night. So which Rishon says this idea justifies the application of Heseba to matzah based on the fact that matzah is the Ikar part of the Seuda of the night? Who says it? What? Exactly. In which daya? Exactly. Good. So Yoni, do you mind reading the first daya? Says shiny matzah.
Yeah. Shiny matzah. She ikar suda yosei miyayin.
Oh, so what's Tosfos' answer in terms of why matzah is not subject to the kasha of my to the svar of my dahava hava?
Ikar suda even more than yayin, but he says.
Exactly. And what seems to come out of Tosfos, because when you read the Tosfos, it's like, what's the shaychus of suda? Right, especially after you read Rashi and the Rashbam and. Right, you're accustomed to thinking that it's all based on what the theme of the mitzvah is. And then all of a sudden, Tosfos brings in this factor of seuda. You wonder, like, what's the shaychus of seuda? But again, once you understand the mahalach that we were developing before, that Haseba is a mitzvah b'fnei atzma, which is specifically associated, like based on the lashon of the Rambam, which is specifically associated with this seuda of the night. So then it makes a lot of sense to justify the application of Haseba to matzah, based on matzah being the ikar seuda of the night. Because if the whole yisod of Haseba is a mitzvah b'fnei atzma, which applies to the seuda of the night, so then the fact that matzah is the ikar seuda of the night is the justification for why Haseba applies to matzah. So again, the Tosfos in his first daya seems to be adopting, right, this approach to be, to say that the right, that the basis, right, that again, that Haseba is a mitzvah b'fnei atzma associated with the ikar seuda of the night, which is, becomes important, which comes out of Tosfos, is that the two day, according to our analysis, the two deos in Tosfos, right, day number one versus day number three, basically represent two very different approaches to the nature of Haseba. first daya is adopting approach to B, which says that Haseba is a mitzvah bifnei atzmo, which is associated with the seuda, while daya number three is saying no, it's approach number one that Haseba is a chilak in the mitzvah itself. So again, you have that sometimes, that two dayos and tosos aren't just, you know, arguing on little pratim, but are fundamentally arguing about the nature of Haseba at hand. And to get a little fancy, we'll get back to this later, but if you remember, Toso, the later Tosos in Dira Maskel Kulu, was Masupuk about whether Haseba is Ma'akev, the mitzvah of Matzah, or Dalad Kosos, right? So one way to explain the suffix in Tosos Dira Maskel Kulu about whether Haseba is Ma'akev, the mitzvah, is say that, because Tosos has two deos about whether Haseba is a chelik in the mitzvah or not, which would align with the two deos in the earlier Tosos, where Tosos himself has two deos about whether the nature of a seba is a chelik in the mitzvah, daya number three, or whether it's just a mitzvah b'fnei atzmo. So those two deos in our Tosos by the Hava Hava could very well align with the suffix in the later Tosos about whether Haseba is ma'akev, the mitzvahs themselves. That's just an important, again, we'll get back to that when we discuss the issue about whether Haseba is Ma'akev, but again, the existence of these two deos, which we're explaining now as representing two fundamentally different approaches to Haseba, would work out well with the fact that Tosas himself is Masupik about the litmus test for whether Haseba is part of the mitzvah itself or independent, which is whether it's going to be Ma'akev, the mitzvah. Okay. So again, so the first makor for this idea that, right, the reason why Haseba applies to matzah is because it's the Ikar Seuda, again, is the first deya in Tosas. But the second, right, makor for this is the Rav, right? The Rav Lashitaso, again, after developing, right, this yisod in the Rambam, that the reason, right, that Haseba is a mitzvah b'fnei atzmo, which is associated with the su'uda of the night. So the Rav Lashitaso says, therefore, for the Rambam, the reason why Haseba would apply to matzah is not because of the internal theme of Cheres, but it's rather because matzah is the ikar su'uda of the night. But the Rav takes us one step further and has like a very interesting nafka mina. He says, what's the nafka mina of saying that the reason why Haseba applies to matzah is not because it aligns with the theme of the mitzvah of matzah, but rather it's because the matzah is the su'uda. What's the nafka mina that the Rav gives?
If there's no matzah, then you could be...
Lashma, right?
Yeah,
exactly. Exactly, right? Says the Rav, a great nafka mina. Let's say you have, what?
Well,
if you don't have matzah, then it's not a suda.
Right, any situation where you don't have matzah that you can make a suda on.
No, specifically, if you have matzah, but matzah means you can be koveya suuda on, but not matzah you can be yotzi the mitzvah with. We'll spell it out right now. Says the Rav, a great nafka mina. Let's say you have a situation where a person doesn't have matzah, which are you know, lishma, right? So you're right, matzah she'ina shmura. So in case where you have matzah she'ina shmura, you can't be yotze your mitzvah with it, but, says the Rav, you could be koveis your su'uda on it, right? At the end of the day, you're going to make hamotzi on this matzah she'ina shmura. So says the Rav, if the reason why Haseba applies to matzah is because it's a chilek in the mitzvah. So then, if you're not being yotze the mitzvah with matzah shena shmura, there's no value in performing haseba while eating matzah shena shmura. But says the Rav, l'shitas harambam, that the reason why you're performing haseba while eating matzah is because matzah is the ikar of the seuda, nothing to do with the mitzvah per se. So then, says the Rav, if you have matzah she'ina shmura, where you're not going to be yotze the mitzvah, but you're still being koveya your su'uda on it, according to the Rambam, says the Rav, Haseba will be shayach to the eating of matzah she'ina shmura. Okay, which is a great highlight of the difference between these two different perspectives of why Haseba is shayach to matzah. Is it din in the mitzvah, or is it din in the kviya su'uda? It's in the mitzvah, it's not shayach to matzah shena shmura, with which you can't be mekayim in the mitzvah. But if it's in being koveya su'uda, so then since you can be koveya su'uda on matzah shena shmura, so then Haseba would be shayach to the eating of matzah shena shmura, b'chi agavne, where you don't have matzah shmura. That was a great highlight of the difference between these two different approaches. But just to add one point, well, it's not clear, what about approach 2a? What about according to Reb Chaim? who says that that Heseba is a mitzvah b'tnei atzma. It's not a din in the mitzvah, but it's a din in, it's a mitzvah b'tnei atzma, which is associated with the ikar achila of the night. So now it's a little bit of an open question, because what makes matzah the ikar achila of the night? You could have said that's the fact that you're being yotze the mitzvah with it, that grants this achila its chashivus. Or you can say, no, it's the ikar achila because it's bread, you're making a motzi on it. So again, while for approach 2b, that it's a din in the su'uda, it's clear that any type of matzah, even matzah shena shmura, would suffice. For approach 2a, that the koveya is the ikar achila, it's possible to say, okay, this is also an ikar achila, the achila of matzah shena shmura is also ikar achila, but it's also possible to say within Reb Chaim that no, that what makes the achilas matzah an achila chashuva is specifically because it's an achila which you're mechuyev to do from the mitzvah, because of the chiyuv of the mitzvah. So that's an open question. Yeah.
You're saying the same thing in 2b, that the reason it's a suda is because you're also the mitzvah.
No. Yeah. You're doing koveya suda on it. Meaning, koveya suda is just that you're having lechem. You could be koveya suda on bread during the year. So the fact that bread is suda is just the fact that it's bread. That's just the chashivas of pas in general. It has nothing to do with the mitzvah Shabbat. But in terms of achila chashuva, that's not about it. Now the question is, what's koveya the chashivas? Is the chashivas just because it's a chashivas of pas? Or no, it really sounds like in Reb Chaim is that the chashivas, the fact that you're, because this is the achila with which you're being yotze the mitzvah, so that the fact that you're being yotze the mitzvah, that grants chashivas to the achila. That's what I... Okay, any questions so far? Okay, seems like you guys are a little dead there. Okay, moving on now to Dalet Kosos. Again, let's go. Everyone's going to get back here. So now we're going to read the Shachar V'Tarya on Dalet Kosos, and we're going to have to analyze, and this is going to get back to Yodov's point, which is going to be when it comes to matzah, the Gemara doesn't give any justification for why Haseba applies to matzah. The Gemara does seem to give some justification for why Haseba applies to Dalet Kosos. So, and we're going to see how this is going to align with the different approaches. Today, we're only going to have time to discuss the first approach, that it's about the reason why Haseba applies to Dalet Kosos is because of the theme of Dalet Kosos of Chirus and Geula. But we'll get back to the other ones tomorrow. So again, just to point out, now within the first approach, that again the reason why Haseba is a chelik in the mitzvah, and therefore the reason why Haseba would apply to Dalet Kosos is because Dalet Kosos is about Chirus and Geula. So again, that is the Pash Pshar of the Gemara. As we'll see in a moment, when the Gemara is the Shachar V'Tarya, two deos about whether Haseba is more shayach to the first two kosas or the last two kosas, the whole back and forth is about which of those two kosas has a greater, you know, does the theme of Cheres apply to a greater extent. And therefore, the whole back and forth of the Gemara about which two kosas the theme of Cheres is greater in implies, as it, you know, implies B'derek Pashas, that the reason why Haseba is being applied to Dalet Kosos is because of Dalet Kosos' theme of Chirus, and therefore the Gemara is a discussion for which of the Dalet Kosos, the first two or the last two, to which, you know, couple, to which pair of the Dalet Kosos is the theme of Chirus greater, implying that the application of Haseba to Dalet Kosos is because of the internal theme to the mitzvah of Dalet Kosos, the theme of Cheres. So let's now look at those svaras in the Gemara itself and analyze them for a couple minutes. All right. So again, starting with right Yayin, it's Itmar Mishmei Rav Nachman. Danny, would you mind? Right, three lines after the Gemara quotes Vafil Ani Shabbi Yisrael, like two lines after the two dots.
Yeah, Vafil Ani Shabbi Yisrael. Okay.
So, yes, this is jumping to the Yayin part. It's just two lines after that.
Two lines. Oh, fine. Yayin, Itmar Mishmei, Rav Nachman, Tzarech Haseba, Itmar Mishmei, Rav Nachman, In Tzarech Haseba. So we have a seer within Rav Nachman about whether he says that you need Haseba or not.
Exactly, right. Sounds at this point, it seems like we have Machokias within Rav Nachman about whether you need it at all. I think Mara says, no, it's not Machokias.
Yeah, but look, you're talking about Machokias. Betarti kasei kamai, ha betarti kasei batrai. So, really, the Machokias is about in the first reasoning, it's about talking about the first two cups that when it says,
or we don't know which ones. Meaning, it's not meaning. It's just saying that two of the four require, and two of the four don't require. Mm-hmm. Like
so
Mara's asking,
says they need and don't need. It depends which cups you're talking about.
Oh.
I'm really lahai gisa, or really gisa. So there's like two studen.
Exactly.
You
know, so which of the two is shaykh to?
Amri lahai gisa. Trei kasi kamai ba lziva. Hashdehu bika mitchala lachiris. So the first svara would be for the first two is that because the first two are the beginning of the chiris.
Stop there, right? So the first svara is saying what? Just remember, just the very important. The timing of dalat kosos. When do you drink the first two kosos?
Before the seudah.
Exactly. Right? One is kiddush, before magid, and the other one is at the end of magid. So again, this is important to understand these svaros. Basically, the first two kosos, like bookend, one can say, bookend magid. Right? So it says the first svara, the reason why Haseba is shayach to the first two kosos, because it's during Magid, the whole matchal alachiris. Because since during Magid, that's when we're focused on chiris. So therefore, since chiris is more prominent for the first two kosos, which are bookending Magid, so therefore that's when you should do it. But, trey kasay basrai.
Because you were already, yes, you'll see your chiyuva of like doing kosa during geula, so you don't need to.
Exactly, right? Since magid is all focused on geula, so therefore you do for the two kosas which are bookending magid, so then you should, you know, have your seva. But afterwards, or the birchas amazim nahal, which come after the focus of cheres, my da'av hava, you know, we're no longer, you know, exclusively focused on cheres. Yeah.
Why can't you say my da'av hava for the second cup also? Because once you had the first cup, then you had magid, which you mentioned just about cheres.
That's a good question. I think it's because, if anything, the second kos is more connected to magid than the first kos, because the second kos really, according to some, is actually a brach on magid. So, according to this svara, that Magid is focused on Chirus, so therefore, for sure, it's Shayach to the second coast, which is really part of Magid. That's a good question. Second day, huh?
If I'm really the Magisa, Adraba. You know, the other way around. Trei Kasi Ba Trei Ba Lasiva, Hahi Shaita De Kahav Yechirus. Because at the end of the Suda, after we finish talking about Magid and everything like that, then that's when Chirus is Shayach. Trei Kasi Kamai Lo Ba Lasiva, Te Akasi Avadim Hainu. That we're still avadim in the beginning stage.
Right, because avadim hayinu ka'amar. Right, because the first two kosos, which take place during Magid, what do you say during Magid? Avadim hayinu. And avadim hayinu is focused not on chirus, but rather on Magid. So let's just take a step back and try to analyze these two days. Right? It seems like in a way like they're talking past each other. Right? The first day says that Haseba is shayach more to the first two kosas, because Magid is focused on chirus. Comes along the second day and says, no, Haseba is less shayach to the first two kosas, because Magid has avadim hayinu in it. Okay, so both of those are true. So the question is, it seems like both deos are just describing two sides of the same coin, but what exactly? Everyone agrees that Magid has a focus on chirus, and everyone agrees that Magid also references avadim hayinu. So both deos are highlighting a fact. So now the question is, so what's the machlokas between the two different deos?
Could it be that they're arguing about what the genus is?
Wow, okay, yeah. So it's not a tie right here, yeah.
So
but they're both Avadim Hayinu and Mitzchila Ovdei Avodah Zarah are both part of Magid.
Well, according to the Sheba, it's just you start with Avadim Hayinu. You start with Mitzchila Ovdei Avodah Zarah, so Avadim Hayinu is before Mitzchila Ovdei Avodah Zarah. So this is what you say Avadim Hayinu or not. Even though the
Gnos, the Ikra, that's interesting. Okay, interesting. A little fancier than I had in mind, but that'll be interesting. So I was going to say something a little different. But the question is, like, whenever you have something like this, sometimes you have that in the Gemara, where you have a machlokes, and they're both basically focusing on facts, but everyone agrees to each other's facts, and the question is, so what exactly is the... Again, everyone agrees that, right, to use the Lashon of the Gemara, right? Everyone agrees that I he shaita the sorry. Everyone agrees that hashtehu to come at chalal achiras. Everyone agrees to the point of the first day that during magid is when you focus, you start focusing on achiras. And everyone agrees to the second day's point, which is the kasi avad ma'inu kamar, that during magid you're focusing on avad ma'inu. So what exactly is the machlokas here? Everyone agrees that magid has both components of the, right? You start with the gnus, and then you mesayim with the chirus. So what's the idea? So it could be that the machlokas here pertains to, one could say, like the relationship between the gnus and the relationship between the avdus and the chirus within magid, as follows. The first daya says, well, of course, although we mentioned Avadim Hayinu part of Magid, Magid is defined solely based on the Cherus. Well, and according to this first Deya, the reference to the Avdus is merely a background. So again, the first Deya says that Magid is defined solely based on Cherus, by which we say, at this point, Magid is defined as to come with Chalala Cherus, because the goal of Magid is all about talking about the Cherus. Oh, what about the reference to Avad Mayinu? Avad Mayinu is just a foil. It's just a contrast. It's just a background to appreciate the Cherus being discussed. But according to the first Deya, the definition or the Hagdara of Magid is that it's a Hagdara focused on Cherus, where the Avdus is just a foil, is just a contrast, is just a background. The second Deya says, no, it's a different understanding, where Magid has two themes. Magid has two themes of Avdus and Cherus. And therefore, according to the second day, because Magid has two themes of, we have a theme of Avdus and then a transition to Cherus, so therefore, you have two opposing themes, and therefore, it's in Haseba, which is solely focused on Cherus, is more shayach to post-Magid, because after Magid, where we get to the point of Cherus, so now the rest of the Suda is solely focused on Cherus, while Magid itself had a dual focus. So again, according to what I'm suggesting, is that the machlokas between the two deos, everyone agrees that Magid is you reference both of Adam Ayinu and Cherus, but the question is, what do you see as the primary, focus of Magid? First day says the primary focus is really Cherus, and if I were to ask you, what's the theme of Magid? The first day would say, it's one theme. It's a theme of Cherus. Oh, we reference Avad Mayinu. Oh, that's just a contrast. That's just to appreciate, how great the Cherus is that we came from so far. Well, the second day says, no, there are two themes within Magid. There's a theme of Avdus and there's a theme of Cherus, and therefore, Hesebo, which is only based on Cherus, it would be less applicable to Magid, which has both of these themes. Yeah.
According to your understanding of the first day, the one you do with Kiddush.
The first day says that that Magid is really defined as...
Yeah, but the first post, before Magid, then...
Again, the way these two days see it is that, the way they set it up is that it's all based on Magid, and therefore the first two kosos are, as I was saying, it seems like it's seeing it, the first two kosos is like bookending Magid. So you have like the Kiddush before Magid, and then the second kos, which is after Magid, but it's all centered around how you understand Magid. If Magid is understood as called Matchal L'Cherus, so then Haseba is shy after the first two kosos. But if you see Magid as having a heavy component of Avad Mayinu, so then Haseba is not shy to either of the two kosos, because both of them are like seen as bookending the Magid.
I understood it a little differently, that it was more about the mindset of the Avdus, about that since the Avdus was leading up to Cherus according to the second day, so even though really the focus is on Avdus, right, the idea is the anticipation is the main thing.
Even the focus is on the
Avdus.
Oh.
Right, we're still at the Avdus stage. The idea is that Magid is a bit... I think maybe you could say that everyone would agree that that it's a sort of transition between Aftis Lecheris, and that the second day is focusing more on the fact that the anticipation of Lecheris is the ikar of the fact that we appreciate Lecheris. When we anticipate something, we appreciate it more. But when it already happens, so then it's less special. But the first day it says, no, when you're an Avid, you're an Avid. When you're a Lecheris, when you're
free. Okay, interesting. We have like 3 minutes left. I'm going to take all your comments after. I just want to make sure we get in the Maram Chalav on the Ran, because I just want to be able to like move on tomorrow. And then I'll take all questions afterwards. I apologize. So just, right, Lemaskana, right, after these 2 days, which was explained, the Gemara ends up having, like, Lemaskana saying, Hashi de Itzmar Hachi, the Itzmar Hachi, Idi vi Idi Boa Sebet. Because we have 2 days, we can't resolve it, right? We don't know whether it's the first two or the second two, so we end up doing Heseva by all four. So what's the Kasha that all the many Rishonim ask? Exactly. Generally, whenever you have a Savik by a Din Drabbanan like Dalako, so we say Savik Drabbanan Lekula. So the question is, why don't you apply the Din of Savik Drabbanan Lekula?
It's not cool.
Why? Just don't do a Seva. That's what they're saying.
Oh, for sure.
And they're saying, don't. I mean, it's a Savik whether you need a Seva for the first two Kosas or the second two Kosas. So don't do a Seva, Savik Drabbanan Lekula for each one. And don't do a Seva for anything. That's what they all ask. So the Maram Chalava answers. What's Maram Chalava's answer? Oh, right. Because there's no tircha, so therefore Savik Drabbanan Lekula doesn't apply, which is a very bichidish. Ram Chalava seems to be assuming that at least an aspect of the din of Savik Drabbanan Lekula is that misafik the Rabbanan are not going to be matriachu, and therefore based on that assumption, in a case where it's not a tircha to do it, so then the whole yisod of Savik Drabbanan Lekula doesn't apply. Again, that's a very bichidish because most Mefarshim understand the Yisod of Savik Drabbanan Lekula as having nothing to do with the factor of Tircha. It's just, it's based on whatever it's based on. It's a whole topic in of itself. So that's the first answer to the Maram Chalava. The Ran gives an alternative, a little more geschmack answer. What's the answer of the Ran, Ephraim? Exactly, right? Because says the Ran, you can't be Mekel. Because if you're going to be Mako, you can't be Mako for one and not the other. Because, to quote the Gemara, my chas is smokahani, smokahani. Meaning, how do you choose? So if you're going to be Mako, you have to be Mako by both. But if you're Mako by both, and then you don't do Heseba at all, so then you're going to be Ma'akir, the Takana, altogether. Because then you're not going to be doing any Heseba by any Dalikosos. So says the Ran, a very important Yisod, that Savik Drabbanan Lekula is not going to apply in a case where we're going to be ma'akir the entire takana to begin with. We don't have so much time, but there's a parallel Ran in the context of Megillah where the Ran also says the same type of idea. And really quickly, the Ran in Megillah, again, this Daf Beis Amud Aleph B'Daf Beis Arif, where the Ran says in a similar situation where you have a suffix, whether a particular ear, whether it's Mukav Choma Mizman Yoshua Bin Nun, so it's basically a suffix, whether it's Mikra Megillah is a Yudalat and Tesvav. So the same question applies, okay, it's a Savik Drabbanan. So say Savik Drabbanan Lekula, and therefore not read on Yudalit or Tesvav, because each day is a Savik Drabbanan Lekula. Answers the Ran, you can't apply Savik Drabbanan Lekula, because then you're going to be Ma'akir, the Din, completely. Right? You can't apply Savik Drabbanan Lekula in a case where you're going to end up doing nothing. But the question that emerges from these two Rans is that, while they're both parallel in terms of saying that Savik Drabbanan Lekula doesn't apply when the result of applying Savik Drabbanan Lekula will be to be ma'akir the entire takana, there's a difference. Elazar, what's the difference between what the Ran ends up saying in both cases? Exactly, right? The Ran says, by Pesachim, you end up doing both. Heseba by the first two and the latter two. But by Megillah, exactly, he only says the first two. And this is a question that the Mishnah Melech brings up in terms of, okay, granted the Ikar Yisod is the same, but why is there a discrepancy within the Ran in terms of whether you do both or not do both? We have to stop here. So again, look at the Mishnah Melech on the Marmakomas for a very interesting answer to that question. We'll stop here for a minute.
But I don't feel that the Mishnah